think we got Chris back talking about the cyber attack. And of course, you know, 8 months plus now, you know, an attack that really gripped this county, still is, by the way.
Yeah.
But the vote last week, Chris, to subpoena four county employees, knowledge of the attack, talked a little bit before regarding the chief information officer, first of his kind here in the county, also admitted that there is a lack of a plan. That's the most troubling aspect of this. The lack of a standalone incident response plan that likely contributed to this. It's still in the recovery stage here. And you were saying something. Go ahead, my friend.
Jay, it's so much bigger than an incident response plan, though, because the actual, like we're paying people to do this job, good amounts of money, lots of actual money. We're paying for professional services. We're paying for outside consultants. We're paying for Palo Alto servers. We're paying for all of this stuff. And this has been going on since at least 2017. The warnings have been out there with the crypto miners. People knew that this network was not taken care of. And if you're in the IT world and you just generally talked around, you knew that they weren't taking good care of this stuff. And that stuff was just going on for so long, and we were paying for so much money to pretend that we had some semblance of IT security going on, and nothing was there. I mean, having a plan to recover from something is secondary to actually setting up the systems correctly. And, you know, after you have a major cyber breach, which is what you had in the crypto mining piece of going on there, not to start putting stuff in place that really would take care of the systems properly, and not to put the right controls and protocols and processes in place then, and then start blaming it on one department, which I don't understand that's where this attack came from, but the entire county was like that. So it's just an entire, like, from the top down, it's just an entire, I don't even know how to explain it. It's just a terrible
failure.
Failure is a good way to put it, but across the board. And I don't know that the subpoenas are good. You know, these people are going to lawyer up, right? There was, they had some of investigation yesterday. They've been putting out stuff about what was in this report and kind of dribs and drabs about what was in the report that was out there. But everything I'm reading about it still points back to, what was the county clerk's office? It was the county clerk's office. You don't have an entire system set up properly where that one office can then infect the entire county.
Right.
It's not right to blame one office.
Even if the office had
their passwords in clear text across the entire, you know, for everything, if they had passwords and the other systems weren't set up right, if they were set up correctly, then even that stuff being passwords and having all that information should have made it more difficult, or should have at least been alerted that there was something going on for the amount of time that was going on. And I feel that there was, and maybe the subpoenas will bring this out, I feel that there were a lot of people there that knew something wasn't right.
No doubt. There's no doubt, and this administration was warned, and they did nothing about it. And you can't put a full blame on the clerk and Judy Pascal. You can't do that. And we're talking about this piece Joe Modio wrote, by the way, great piece from Focus and Tenium. And, you know, it says something about Long Island's only news publication, Newsday, the lousy job that they have reported on over the last 8 months. You and I have commented on this, and the reason why I wanted you on today, because I think it's about time that we get down to the nitty-gritty here and really kind of analyze this piece written by Amodio. It's brilliant. It really is. Look at everything involved here. Go ahead.
It's tough because I'm going out trying to do research on this, trying to talk to who I can, and there's just so little information. And the information that you do get is the same stuff. Oh, it was the clerk's office. And then if you've been around this long enough, you know that it can't be just that one thing. And you can't have all these other stories. Like, that's not how IT, that's not how it works, right? You know?
Right.
So I've struggled to really try to find as much information as I can about this so that I can talk to you, and you keep hearing the same things. I mean, there's short articles that are coming out of Newsday, and they're kind of just the talking points that you hear from the press conferences. And there's not a lot of, there's not a lot of journalism going on.
No, there is not. There is not. We crave information. And when I read this the other night, this is why I had to get you on. I bothered you yesterday on this. But, you know, if you look at the steps, state police stepping in to assist local emergency responders, they ran plates, arrest history warrants, other vital data during traffic stops, dispatches, log calls by hand. This is all the mess that was created. Email for 10,000 civil service workers east. This is how devastating it was, folks. Midterm election voting counting, that was delayed. We know that, Chris. And the local real estate market, which is a big deal anywhere, but certainly here on Long Island, that was gut punch. Unable to process property title searches, other business as well. This was devastating. I don't think the average resident, okay, in Suffolk County understands the magnitude of the damage. And by the way, still not fully there.
Okay? No, we have clients in the real estate industry that still are suffering from, you know, the fact that the mortgage, you know, the title stuff, searches and stuff like that are still down. And, you know, this, like I said, the problem is that I'm not 100% confident at this point that what's being put in place, because there's not a lot of transparency, what standards they're trying to meet, you know, are they going for NIST standards? What kind of cybersecurity? What's the policy moving forward? You know, I mean, they're not supposed to, you know, I don't have to know everything about what's going on and where everything is, but there should be some transparency as to, you know, what systems they're going to, what standards they're going to try to meet moving forward, and who, and what's the timeline for those standards, and how fast they're going to get it done. And because it's been a long time, like I've been through cyber, and as big as Suffolk County is as a county, the number of computers that it have and devices that it has really isn't that large. So we've been through these cyber breaches before, and it, you know, for decent sized clients, we've helped out in the past, and it just doesn't take this amount of time to at least get your plans rolling and get your stuff back in place. And I understand that there's, you know, it's a big area and it's a lot of different systems, and they keep blaming it on it. Well, it was this disparate system over here and it was this disparate system, and that's a big part of it. But, you know, putting it all back together and saying, well, just because we have one system that we can monitor doesn't necessarily solve the problem, right? And it doesn't get everybody trained on cybersecurity in the future. So what's your training protocols? There's some stuff I still see nobody taking full ownership of this and being put out there and saying, I'm the person who's going to be the one who's going to make sure stuff, this never happens to Suffolk County. I almost feel like we're riding this out until the end, or the next person has to deal with it a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Because you know why? You've got 6 months of administration left here. So, you know, you got a lame duck in there right now, Chris. And listen, it is what it is. But you go back in time here with this forensic report that revealed that hackers had entered this system, folks, 8 months. 8 months before the actual attack. So the attack, Chris, was what? September the 8th. The report revealed hackers got in there 8 months prior. So you're looking 8 months, right? Do the math.
December, I'm almost under
2021. Go ahead.
I'm almost under the impression, if you take somebody who's doing Bitcoin mining, and this is, they think it's going, that went all the way back to 2017, the hackers were inside the network to some degree. You know what I'm saying? Like, the people that were working there, that were doing that kind of network, that's kind of a hack on the network if you think about it, right? That was, this person took advantage of your network to do something illegitimate or illegal, and that was a hack right there, and you didn't treat it like that. You treated it like some guy was just popping the computers on your network. So my assumption, to be perfectly honest with you, as much as they found that one device, that one thing, that I don't know what forensics they did, because they know a lot. If you do it right, you can probably, but it really, you could probably find a lot, but you don't know what systems they did. But my assumption is that it's been going on, or there's at least been vulnerabilities that have been happening in this network for a much, much even longer time than this month.
No question.
You know,
no question about it.
The hackers were inside the gates. You know, I mean, that putting crypto mining machines that weren't taken care of properly, along with an entire network that wasn't taken care of properly, this stuff's probably been going on for much, much longer than 8 months. The 8 month piece of it is a good way to say this one device in this one clerk's office wasn't taken care of, or this one area wasn't taken care of well, which is true. And I don't understand why that wasn't taken care of after what happened. But it's still pandemic across this entire county that
the
stuff wasn't really done very well. And, you know, and I think that we had a lot of highly paid people who should have been advising them properly. And maybe they didn't take that advice. I don't know that answer. But, you know, it definitely is. It needs.
So, You're right. But there's such a lack of transparency here, folks. But this is alarming stuff, okay? So talking about this forensics report, right? So they gained access, apparently. We're talking about December 2021. Chris thinks even prior to that. The intruders, what they did was, according to the report, installed Bitcoin mining software, exfiltration tools, and monitoring systems. They created fake accounts, harvested some 26,000 Social Security numbers, and nearly 500,000 driver's license numbers. I mean, this is unbelievable. And by the way, this report, Chris, only tells half the story. I mean, you've had a slew of revelations that have emerged in the wake of the attack, establishing that Suffolk County didn't take cybersecurity seriously. That's the overall fact, the bottom line here. Not take it seriously. Go ahead.
Who is supposed to be the one that's supposed to take it seriously? I mean, it's got to start at the top, and then you got to hire people that want to take it seriously. And we had people with big titles and big dollar money that maybe they took it seriously. I don't know. And then we paid a lot of money for cybersecurity. So these systems, some of these systems that they bought and put in place, should have been notifying them instantaneously that there were problems in the network, that people were sending out data. And there was a lot of things. Like after that Bitcoin mining incident happened, they should have put an external SOC on that network, which would have been a monitoring company. And it's relatively cheap and relatively easy to do. And that should have been on there. And these companies, they'll find and they'll look at data and they'll say, hey, this stuff is not supposed to be being sent out to China or Korea or something like that. And it's the first level of you being able to find that the traffic on your network is not doing what it's supposed to be doing. So listen, they failed miserably across the board. And I don't know. I mean, so that's what you're going to find out in these reports. You're going to continue to find out that this person didn't do their job, or this person wanted to do something and then they didn't implement it right. So I don't know what, maybe they're not staffed enough. Maybe they don't have the right people in place. I don't know, but across the board, that's what you're going to find. But then what's going to happen is what I'm concerned about. Where are we next? Maybe it has to wait to the next administration, because that's what I guess is going to happen. I assume that the next administration is going to have to put something together. But are there going to be real subpoenas to this? Is anybody going to fall? No, the administration's going to go away. All those people are going to leave. They're still going to have their pensions. They're still going to get paid. And then hopefully we can come in and go past it. But we're still paying for all of these people who didn't do their job. They're all on pay with leave, right? And that's what's going to happen. So until
then,
I don't know what the only outcome that I hope for is that, what Doug's doing over there with the panel actually comes out with some real good recommendations, because I don't think from the past, I don't think anything's going to happen. So let's move forward, I guess. Hopefully the new administration takes cybersecurity seriously. I don't think they have much of a choice, but
here's what we need to emphasize, because the ransom, what was it, about $2.5 million? And apparently, you know, rather than pay that ransom to hackers, county went another round. They elected to restore the services on its own. And it took more than 5 months, by the way, to get the website up and running again, folks. And today, as we speak, some of the online services, talking about the property title searches, sewer bill payments, Chris, those still remain offline, okay? And you look at the cost of responding to the breach and restoring these services, it's going to total a lot of money. You know, you're talking somewhere in the area of nearly $6 million there. And this is according to the latest county estimate. A lot of the people out there say that figure may even rise. I think it's 5.7 to be exact. That number could rise, though, even more so.
So here's the problem. Paying that $2.3 million and getting the data and getting stuff back up and running quickly, you still have to do almost everything or more than what they're doing now. So because the systems were not in a place where you could really know that everything wasn't, that the entire network wasn't compromised, it wasn't like you were restoring one server or two servers and the rest of the network was separated and taken care of. They definitely needed that. You were going to spend that, even if you spent the $2.3 million to get us back up and running quickly, you still have to spend most of that money to go back and fix all of this stuff. And now, maybe it would have been a little less devastating to the county as a whole to get that data back up and running, but they're still going to sell that data on the dark web, whether they tell you they are or not. They're still, you still don't know that those machines aren't compromised, right? So because of the way the network was set up, you're going to be in the same place, and you really needed to do that. Now, why it took so long, that I don't understand. Why these systems, you know, it just doesn't make that much sense to me as to how long it took and why it took so long to recover some of this stuff. I mean, where the backups were and all this other kind of things that were going on. So there's a lot of questions that I have from an IT side about how long it took to do this stuff and why some of these systems are still down. I don't know those answers. I'm kind of giving them some benefit of the doubt. But to be honest with you, you paid that $2.3 million. You still were going to pay $6, $8 million on the other side to get everything back up and running.
Yeah, and that number could rise. You know, a lot of people saying, forget the 5.7. That's going to go, you know, that'll go a lot higher. Listen, there's no question about it. Suffolk County was not prepared, okay? It starts at the top, okay? It starts at the top. You're the manager of the county. You're the county executive. You are the one on the scope, in my estimation. It starts at the top. Want to blame the clerk? Want to blame this guy, that guy? This. You're still running the county. That's key here. And you look at everything involved, you know, one of the quotes from the county executive, the reality is, I'm kind of paraphrasing, that cyber criminals have more access to the clerk's network than county IT ever did.
Come on! That is probably true, because once you get those systems in place, these guys know how to, I mean, the software that they're using is similar software that I use to manage my clients, and these are extremely well-written viruses. It's just whose hands they're in makes the difference. But once you get into those networks, you pretty much have full control.
But here's the problem.
Yeah.
The biggest problem that I see in all of this, at the beginning of our conversation, when you have no chief security officer in place, nothing. You didn't have the guy. An authority could have alerted local officials, a lack of, there's the word again, folks, preparedness. That could have guided them.
I see a bigger problem here.
All through the process. But here's the thing, Chris. If you had an officer in place in charge of security, they could have alerted the people that, you know, make big decisions here. As far as everything involved here, you know, through the process, making cost-effective improvements, and maybe steer this ship after it hit the iceberg, okay? After the hack is struck. I mean, let's face it. Having no officer in place, that hurt. And so many state and local governments that are often cash-strapped, and we don't suffer it, and not so cyber-savvy. And I understand you have an officer in place, you know, kind of it's a luxury and a cyber attack, kind of a distant and unlikely threat. But, man, I'll tell you.
A security officer is not a luxury anymore, not for any kind of county, not for any municipality, not for most size organizations that are, you know, just not a regular small business. Somebody in charge of security is not a luxury anymore. But my other issue is, besides having a luxury, is what you're finding out and what I'm starting to hear is almost everybody knew that there were compromises on the network, or at least potential compromises. The people that were in IT, they had ideas that the mining was going on, that there were potential compromises across the network, that they weren't really sure why things were happening. And there was, if you're starting to hear, I mean, some of the articles that I'm reading is that, you know, they didn't want to say anything because they weren't really sure, or they didn't know what was going on. Maybe they didn't have anybody to say it to, and that could have been the same thing. But they didn't want to. There was something weird about the involvement of who knew what was going on, and that there was something wrong in the network, but it wasn't getting to anybody who could or would make a change until they brought it up to, you know, until they brought up the Bitcoin mining incident. There was a lot of people who thought that stuff was going on. So is it, it's almost a cultural thing that I think had to change, or that hopefully will change or needs to change. But I feel like there was a lot of people that kind of were like, I don't want to stick my neck out for that, you know? And that's an issue if you're going to have people that are relatively highly paid to do their jobs inside the system that are not doing their jobs.
Yeah, and, you know, it was interesting around about this piece that I've read is that there are a lot of dollars out there. There's participation in these whole estate programs that provides municipal, tribal, county entities with information, guidance, funding, see here, folks, that they would not have had access to on their own. Listen.
But it's not a money issue.
Yeah, 48 states issue. Have applied. 48 states, Chris, have applied. Go ahead.
It's not a money issue. The budget's there. The money was there. We spent the money. It's not a money issue. Yes, they should have more budget. Yes, somebody should be going after that money. Yes, they should be using some of the tools that New York State and other people have provided them. It's not a money issue. There was plenty of money being put around out there. They were paying money for bad systems. They were paying money for old systems. It's not a money issue. Unfortunately, like, they could use budget as a concern. I mean, I know what it costs to run this stuff. I have clients that have IT systems that are as large as Suffolk County, and I know what they spend to keep themselves safe, and so it's not a money issue because they have more money than any of my clients have that have as many pieces of equipment, so it's not more than Suffolk County has that are much more complicated than even Suffolk County. So it's not a money issue. It's a culture issue. It's a competence issue. It's a want to do it correctly issue, but it's not a money issue.
Listen, the most egregious part of this whole thing, you know, that you could ascertain in all of this stuff, and it's still ongoing today, is the fact that Suffolk County was ill-prepared. They did not have an incident response plan. I mean, that's what it, and, you know, the thing is, cyber attacks are a given in any way. And, Chris, you know this better than anyone else. They are no longer an if, but a when. And it's going to happen. Now, and I understand, no matter how much you plan, but having some sort of a playbook, okay, is the most important aspect of it, the most significant tool in any arsenal. And Suffolk County had no such plan in place.
They didn't have a plan in place, and they also hired people that had poor track records of doing this stuff in the past. And it seems, you know, that's maybe a political thing. Maybe they were snowballed a little bit. But, you know, there were, like I said, it's a cultural issue that it's just the stuff's not being taken care of. It's not hasn't been priority to the county. We had what I would consider a major breach inside of our network when the cryptocurrency happened, and they hired the same people that had problems in other towns and other counties to do that work for them, set up the same stuff that wasn't set up properly. So even if they had a cyber incident policy or they said they did, would they have followed it? Would they have kept up with it? Would they have actually known how to implement it? Would they have trained the people on what to do? Probably not. You know what I'm saying? It's just one almost comical error after the next. So they would have said, "Hey, we had a cyber incident plan," and it would have, like, the cybersecurity is this ongoing thing. It changes constantly. It needs to be updated regularly. It needs to be part of how you train your employees, and it needs to be part of your culture that you want to do this stuff. And in some cases, it's a huge burden. In some cases, it's very costly. So if you don't want to bear those burdens, if you don't want to deal with it, if your people don't want to, you don't want to deal with having to train the people who don't want to get trained, if you don't want to deal with that stuff, you're going to be in this place even after you put some kind of cyber plan in place, that kind of stuff. It's just going to, it falls apart real quickly if it's not part of the culture.
And let's face it, you know, I mean, the county had an overall emergency response plan, but not, you know, specific to cyber. That's what it was, cyber breaches. And Rich Donahue, by the way, said that.
They couldn't do it, though, Jay. They couldn't put a plan together because the systems weren't in place for them to even react properly. So they needed to fix all their systems at the same time that they were putting a plan in place. And the systems were in such disarray that they couldn't put a plan together. That's why they didn't get cyber insurance. They couldn't get cyber insurance because they knew the systems were so bad. If you can't get cyber insurance, there's a very good chance that there's a reason why you can't get it. because they know that you cannot respond to an emergency, or that you're not prepared, or that you're more likely to have some kind of an emergency. So even with a cybersecurity plan that was put in place, the entire system's on the back end, where they could have put that plan in place and said, and it would have been smoke and mirrors, you know?
Right. But you see, the day you get attacked, you should have a plan. So if it's a cyber-related plan, and something obviously didn't have anything.
They don't understand the systems well enough to put a plan together, Jay. They don't understand.
The way they scrambled around trying to figure out what's the next step, yeah, I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, that's
what an absolute disaster.
Because you have to know and you have to have control of your systems, and you have to say, hey, here's where the passwords are, and here's where we need to shut down, and here's how the traffic goes out of the network. And you have to have control of all of that stuff. You have to understand where your assets are. You have to have some kind of an assemblance of organization to be able to put a plan of how people should react. And you have to have people that want to work together to react together, to put that plan together. And they didn't have any of that. So it's going to take years. It's going to take a long time to put these systems back together. But somebody's got to own it. And I don't, maybe once we have a new administration and they have to be responsible for a period of time, I just feel like this administration's kind of riding this out to the best that they can. And hopefully they can say they're doing enough stuff so that, you know, it looks like they handed off something to the next administration, and then they're going to wash their hands of it. And my best hope is that nothing terrible happens from this point until our next administration comes in, and that next administration wants to do this right, you know?
No question. And like I said, when you're going to lame duck, this is what's happening. As you said, they are riding it out over the next 6-7 months. I'll say this in summation. Once these four individuals who have subpoenaed the knowledge of Suffolk IT practices will certainly come into play here in light and the testimony before this investigation committee. You know what? We'll wait and see.
Yeah.
That's when I think you'll shed more light. Listen, I can't thank you enough. I know you're traveling and you took time out. Before I let you go, though, give us a sense what happened with the event the other night. Hopefully it was in good shape. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. It was awesome, Jay. We had over 300 people there. We raised a ton of money for suicide and mental health awareness. We had so much fun. It was a great event. I love doing it every year. It's a ton of work. We had some of the best ping pong players in the country show up. To do some exhibitions for us. We had the number one 12-year-old in the country playing. It was so much fun to see. I think everybody had a great time. It's just nice to have an event like that. It's not another golf outing. It gets everybody. The community was involved. Everybody told me they had a great time, and I had a blast. I mean, we could definitely be a little bit more organized because it's a lot of work to figure out, but it was really a lot of fun, and I can't thank all the people that volunteered to make it work, and thank Joseph's University for giving us such a wonderful space. It was so much fun. It was a blast.
Awesome. Can't thank you enough, my friend. Anything we can do for you, you let me know. The great Chris Coluccio in TechWork Consulting. MakeTechWork.com. Check out the site. Great site. And, of course, all that Chris's company does, 631-285-1527. Any questions? Sir, great weekend and a great discussion there. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. You've got to focus in on this stuff because the newspaper doesn't do anything. The administration doesn't tell you anything. We will, and hopefully we shed some light as far as the goings-on, the timeline, and everything else.